Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Into the Neuroverse presents...
Sort your brain out. Baby, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. And let the sun shine in. Sort your brain out. Lady, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. Don't let the bad guys win. Sort your brain out, mate.
Welcome to Into the Neuroverse presents Sort Your Brain Out. I'm still working out, Toby.
Sort your brain out.
Try to keep the rain out. Let the sun shine in. Sort your brain out.
I've got it now.
And then the end sort of goes, Sort your brain out, mate. I think I've nicked that. I'm really worried I've nicked that.
Oh, that bit. Is from...
Well, no. What? No.
Oh, what's that from? It's some classic comedy that he's forgotten. It's
probably
like you've not stolen it.
I feel
it.
I nick a lot of things.
It's very.
I did a whole bit in my talking about ADHD in my show where ADHD, you're the one for me. And then I realised it's Baby on Board from Simpsons. Fuck.
Oh.
You've got it. I felt like Paul McCartney after he wrote Yesterday. And I really did. But yes, welcome to the show. So it's called Sort Your Brain Out. We've done it.
Yeah.
And the idea is. This is like Into the Neuroverse is my main show where I just waffle on about my neurodiversity, my ADHD.
And this is different how?
Very brave. This, very brave. A lot of it's frighteningly brave. it's too brave, if anything. But no, so Into the Neuroverse is my main show where I talk about my main show, you know, like it's, you know, this is like Big Brother's Big Mouth.
ITV2.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
That's the plan.
Thanks.
But with Into the Neuroverse...
ITV2 is great. I've been on
there. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, don't stop smashing, getting me on ITV2.
Let's cut that out as well because it's a smashing channel.
I love ITV2.
Yeah.
Is there any jobs coming up on ITV2? Do you ever do read-throughs, Toby, where you have to... where you read the stage directions or anything?
Occasionally, yes. Oh. Yeah. I don't mind them.
Do you not mind them?
I've done some good ones.
They've
recast them when it comes on. I'm like, oh, so-and-so was better in the table.
Oh, yeah. No, that happens a lot, doesn't it? That happens a lot. We'll come back to, right, stick a pin in there. As you can see, because the ADHD, I go all over the shop. But you've seen me do comedy. You know what it's like.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
you've seen what this is like. So the idea of this show, Toby, is that I ask you to sort my brain out.
Mm.
So it's like therapy. But by sorting my brain out, you're sorting their brains out. So my idea is neurodiverse people struggle with certain things or whatever. Right now it's kind of talking and moving is what I'm struggling with. And then we get people who might be neurodiverse or not neurodiverse, either way, but who have certain skills or things that I admire. And I say, I struggle with this. Sort my brain. There's a fly. Andrew, we did ask for that. But the fly's still there.
Oh,
that's gonna bother us, isn't it?
I'm gonna
That's gonna bother us.
Where do you stand on killing things?
My house is I don't know.
Mm.
Spiders I leave. I say to my kids, don't kill spiders, because they're our friends and they capture the mosquitoes who do bite us. Spiders don't. Mosquitoes do.
Spiders should be better at capturing mosquitoes because I leave them alive and I still get bitten.
I mean, how many are they going to get? Mm. Really?
True.
But I got a big bite on my leg. I got a medic to check it out because I freaked out because it was growing. And I was sure I saw two pincers, two holes like a spider, you see. And then I thought, what if I died? I don't know whether this is a neurodiverse thing. It probably is, but like I'm very quickly to the steps that I'm basically won't be around tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? That this is the end.
Sure,
this
is the
end
for me.
It's
the best way to live.
So I was thinking, you know, I say to my kids, don't fear the spider. He is our friend. And then Daddy died of a spider bite. Everything, and I was so close. I really was.
I think if you'd been bitten by a spider, you'd know about it. It probably would have to be a false widow, wouldn't it, in this country?
False widow.
Apparently.
Are they the only ones?
I don't think there's many spiders in this country. Oh, you felt it at the time?
Well, afterwards.
It's a mosquito bite.
Well, they got me twice.
Yeah.
A tiny vampire.
They probably hit a rich vein.
I went to the medic and she drew a circle around it. She said, if it gets any bigger, go to your GP.
See if you get like cellulitis or something like that. Right.
I was standby for 8 out of 10 cats.
Sat there in
and
your
I
pants,
got there,
looking at your leg.
And I had to say, can I get a medic? But I was like, but if you need... The idea of standby, obviously, I've never been on 8 out of 10 cats.
Is to not be
Is to not be ill.
Not
have a problem.
Not be a real pain.
Because you're there in case they have a problem. In case, you know, Jimmy Carr just fucking loses it.
All right, so you're a replacement for Jimmy Carr.
I don't think I was... Maybe.
I mean... I'd like to see it.
Maybe.
I think you'd be great.
No, it's,
Where
I
is
think
your
I'd
show?
Be good.
Where is
it was
your
Dictionary
show?
Corner as Anna Mann. So the thing is that I have to call...
Why were you standby? Why weren't you just on it?
I know, but apparently they make you do standby a few times. In fact, lovely Helen Bauer was there. She said they'd made her do stand-up, and then she's finally got on, you see. So in a few years, watch this space. I've killed the character. I haven't told them that yet.
Don't tell them.
I want to be Colin and get on the panel. Fuck the Dictionary Corner. That's for kids.
Yeah. At the moment, you're down in the roster as spider bite guy.
Yeah. Don't get this guy. So I was really like, you get a medic, but I'm fine. I'm not. I'm okay. If I need to go on, I'll be fine. But can you get a medic quite urgently, please? Because I think I might actually be dying, and this could be the end. My son actually says, I don't know. I think he's got it from YouTube. He's 86. He says this is the end of you, father. When he punches me, which is quite regular.
Where has he got that
He
from?
Does a slow punch. And I'm like, it's just a joke. He goes, this is the end of you, father. And then there's a slow punch. Yes. But then he actually just hits me properly at the end. I'm like, okay, that's not okay.
It sounds okay to me. It sounds amazing.
Well, he gets away with it because it's kind of funny as he's doing the slow punch.
What you need to do
but if he
is
then went,
tell him to keep the...
But he sort of gets there and they go... Poof.
Well, tell him to keep the fist looser and then only tighten the fist and turn the hand right at the end so it'll get more power.
Is that fighting?
He'll get more power.
Do you do fighting?
I did... boxing just to get fit.
Can I just say, this is a very coherent, linear episode, isn't it? I don't think I've quite... Have I explained the title and what we're doing? Almost. I haven't said who you are.
Oh.
We'll come back to that. Tell me about fighting. Yeah. So you did a bit of boxing as a kid?
No, as a fat adult.
Oh, really?
I'll go and do some...
How old were you?
Oh, I'm late 30s.
There's a little part of me that always thinks one day I'll become a really good boxer.
40s.
Early 40s? Oh,
actually.
Even better.
Yeah.
What are you now? Early 50s.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was literally just training. My trainer kept saying, you should do some fights. I was like, I don't want to.
And did you?
No. I fought him a few times and he folded my nose in half a couple
of
times.
Oh, God.
He was very good.
With his fingers, just like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, he didn't even need to...
Gotcha!
Mickey Cunningham, M-Box, look him up. He's a good lad.
Cunningham.
He's a great trainer.
Is he scary?
Great boxer. No, not at all. He's a lovely chap.
Is he wiry or is he big?
Oh, wiry, quick.
Little wiry dude.
Couldn't touch him.
Oh, man.
You'd swing at him for 3 minutes.
Oh,
it's like,
wow.
That's enough. That's
How
the exercise
old?
For a month. I mean... A little bit younger than me. So I think he was in his early 40s.
But I always thought at some point I would be a boxer.
I think we all did,
I think
Colin.
I've just... Have we all thought that? A boxer or some sort of fighter?
Boxer, professional footballer.
Assassin.
All of these.
One day.
Ninja. We've all thought that.
Okay, it's not just me. So that's not a neurodiverse thing.
Letting these things go as you get older is quite... It's nice. You've got to find some other things.
But I feel like I've spent the last 20 years on the verge of letting my career go.
What are you, like early,
sort of going,
early to mid-40s?
Something like that.
So what could you still possibly do?
Fuck. I mean, is Hollywood too... Hollywood's still possible.
You could still do
it's
Hollywood.
Very possible. Look at Brett Goldstein.
Absolutely. I mean...
I can't keep my eyes off him. He's gorgeous. What a dish. Do you know what? We watched Avengers 2 last night, me and the kids, which is probably why my son was punching me, wasn't it, with hindsight?
I mean...
Because it's a lot of punching.
That does, yeah. There's not a leap, is it?
It is a bit like, do you remember on Brass Eye where he goes, that's good AIDS and that's bad AIDS? It's a bit like that with punching. It's a bit like, no, that's all right punching. Because they're goodies.
Yeah,
punching
it's all
dad
right.
is not okay.
It's okay to do it with a hammer.
Yeah, with a big fuck off hammer.
A big, yeah.
Or a shield. He jams that shield right in their throats.
Oh, he really
that's
does.
Not the Captain America I grew up with. he's vicious. Anyway, how did we get onto that? Yeah, we were watching that. And I sort of always come away a little bit sad because I think, I'll probably never actually get to play a superhero, will I? And then I think, shut up, Colin. You might.
Yeah.
Look at Brett Goldstein.
Oh, I've still got...
Look
got
at Brett Goldstein, everyone. Look him up now.
Yeah,
how old's Brett Goldstein, Andrew? Could you check? God, this show's meant to be helping neurodiverse people, not just
very
narcissists.
Different to us, but,
does he?
Yeah, he looks.
If I do that?
I have a comic.
43.
Okay.
Boom! That's genuinely made me feel really good.
What did you do on the podcast? We just compared ourselves to Brett Goldstein
made me feel so
and said
good.
That we could. Yeah, there's no difference between us.
I work out a lot. I'm doing a Spartan run.
Ooh, what's that?
You run 10K.
Running little shorts.
And then you run in the tiniest shorts you can
find. With the lambs drawn on.
Yeah. Little lambs.
Abs.
Or lambs. Yeah, I have actually got a pair of shorts with little lamb. No, I'm.
Are you doing the Zack Snyder?
I think Mary was little. The 300 thing. Do you know what? I got into a conversation. The guy who runs it, Tom, he doesn't run it. He runs my gym and he's put us in for a Spartan thing. And he was like asking me about the Spartans. So what was the thing with the Spartans anyway? And then I started, you know, when you start sort of saying, oh, basically with Spartan, it was, and I said to him, like, oh, they didn't really do what you think they did, you know, because actually Athens got involved. And I thought, why am I saying this? I don't know this. I'm not sure this is true. And he's like, oh, is that right? And I was like, I don't know, probably. I mean, and then I ended up going, no, but they were good guys. The Spartans were good guys. Like, because I suddenly felt like, oh, shit, I've made it sound like the Spartans weren't good. So that bringing me on to you, Toby Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect segue. So Toby Williams, actor, singer, dancer, fighter. When did you last do any of those things?
Oh, I mean, I've never sang. I danced at my wedding, I suppose.
Right. Oh, did you?
But it's not professional.
I didn't know you were married.
Oh, I'm married, yeah.
Well, congratulations.
18 months ago.
To your partner?
Yes, to my wife.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now wife.
Yeah.
God. Did you used to call her your partner?
No, I don't like that.
It's not for us. It's not for our generation,
though,
is it? That's not for our generation.
It's weird sort of being my age and saying girlfriend, but it's better than partner.
It is pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, that flies back.
Yeah,
kill it, Andrew.
Was going
How do we kill it?
Sweaty little temples.
Oh, bless you, darling. So, yeah, but you act a lot and you're a comedian sometimes.
Sometimes comedian.
When you want
acting.
To.
Acting.
Sometimes play a doctor.
No singing, no dancing. Often play a doctor or a headmaster.
So this is one thing I can talk about. As Mr. Johnny Neurodiverse over here, as they call me in the community. Fuck.
Have
you got it?
I just hit myself in the face because I thought it was on my face, but I don't think it was.
I just thought you were like having a moment. It's like, fuck. I like looked at Andrew like, get him. What do we do?
You thought you knew me.
He's doing a Jimmy Carr moment. We need the standby. We have a standby for this show, actually.
Thank God. Thank God.
I love the idea that I went in and was like, all right, I'm standby. I need a medic straight away.
I mean, the only reason I know you haven't got a standby is
finish that story.
I was the bottom of your list, so there's no way.
No, you weren't the bottom. There was like one other person.
Are you free in 10
no,
minutes?
No, no,
yes,
you were, no.
Yes, I am.
I told you the story. Andrew did send me some people. Were they all neurodiverse people? Mm-hmm. Yeah, none of them were up for doing this show, I'll tell you that. But no, they all said, yeah, another time, definitely. But then you popped up on
I'm taking my shirt off.
So you're not neurodiverse, but you've got there's something something's not right. You're not right.
Something's
is that fair
on,
enough to say? You're not quite right.
I trapped myself in my own
you're
shirt
not okay.
trying to get it off.
You're not okay, should we say. With
clothing. There's a lot going on here, Colin.
I get that.
And I'm not sure I want to know.
So right, I haven't looked at these wonderful notes.
I'm
going to
stop distracting you and let you finish a sentence.
Yeah,
how
please, for
how
God's sake.
Yeah.
I say that I have a go at audience members now. Now that the ADHD is like out the back, I come out and I do say I'm ADHD, that's very brave, which I always find really funny. But I do then have a go at them if they in any way distract me. But I've turned that into a comedic device, which I find very funny. Anyway,
yeah,
just telling you that my comedy is very funny there.
It is. I've seen your comedy.
So my thing to you, so I've got a few things I want to talk about.
Let's do it.
So, Toby, you're not an actual doctor. You've never been an actual doctor.
Never been an actual doctor. I was a biologist.
You were a biologist?
I was a biologist for a very short period of time.
Did you work in, for the big pharma?
I did.
I'm not sure what that is. Is it just pharmacies?
It was...
it's not chemists.
I worked for an agrochemicals...
God.
Company. Only for a year because that's the only contract I could get. And then I never worked in science again, not
No way.
Not because I didn't want
to. Not after that land shark you created. They'd never let you near there. I tore that place to pieces.
We were doing good work.
Three people died.
I was in the beneficial insects team. You know, like bees, beetles, spiders.
Well, that sounds fun.
We were testing things on them, but to find out ones which didn't cause harm.
Right.
So quite a few of the ones I tested
didn't cause harm to crops and stuff.
Didn't cause harm to the insects.
Oh, which chemicals didn't kill the
insects?
Not the
spiders or insects before you write it.
So we want to spray all these crops, but we don't want to kill the bees.
We want to keep all the insects because they're an organic pesticide.
Do you know what? I just assumed, based on my knowledge of Big Pharma, that they just didn't give a shit. They were, like, happy for the bees to die. And that's not the case, which is nice to know.
Depends who you're working for and who you're talking to, I guess. But
anyway, I've interrupted you. So you were doing that for a while, for a year.
Did that for a while. And I looked up relatively recently. A lot of the chemicals we were testing are banned now, which is nice.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but hopefully because of
you.
Like, yeah.
You went, not this one.
Yeah, no, that's not this one.
So you killed bees, but
well,
in the name of science.
I did spiders and beetles mostly, but mostly I didn't kill them.
So you've watched a lot of spiders eat things, have you?
I've watched spiders eat other spiders.
I've got six wolf spiders in my garden. Amazing. They've just spread out across the whole thing. Maybe this is why I nearly died from this wolf spider. But I've got one got a wasp, and the wasp was bigger than the spider.
Ooh.
And he was just... You know what I mean? Spinning around. And
they are crazy things. I used to be scared of spiders, but...
Nature in action.
For the job, I had to suck them up into a little pot. It's called a pooter. You go... You see one, you say, and you have to collect them and then obviously do the tests and things.
What?
So because I was looking for them and hunting them.
But how do you stop it going in your mouth?
It has a little bit of gauze over the... So it's like, yeah, there's a pot and one tube goes in with the gauze on your mouth and then another tube comes out. So you suck. So it causes the vacuum in the pot and the spider goes into the pot.
So it gets from the... So it's on the ground and it goes
from
up
the outside and stays in the pot.
Christ almighty.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. Not a job. That's a joy, isn't it? That's an art.
I did once.
How many spiders did you get in one day? Do you know what you
got? Quite a lot. But really? I did once. I had collected quite a lot, and then I saw this beast, which I shouldn't have collected because it wouldn't have been any good for the things. But it was a white wolf spider.
Wow.
And it was about, for the benefit of the people at home, it was about that big.
Fuck.
And I mean, I'm struggling.
Every bloody leg off, mate.
That's like. What is that size? What's that size?
That's like what?
It was like a baseball, a cricket ball.
Yeah.
And I sucked it up because I thought, look at this.
Size of a bat tumor.
And then it proceeded to eat all the other ones in the pot, so that was a mistake.
Sorry, I just related it to a tumor because normally when you get a tumor, they say it's the size of a baseball.
Because
tumors are on my mind a lot.
That's the only, when you're going to relate to size, it's either.
The tumour is related to...
You have to relate it to the width of a human hair or a football pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if it's a tumour, it's a cricket ball.
Yes.
Or sport or ping pong ball, depending on...
Hopefully smaller. Hopefully it's not there at all.
Yeah.
Find out. Been five times to check to the doctor. I really have. Five times. I managed to stop myself going the sixth time.
What were the
other day?
Because
my eyes started going weird. And then Kat was like, have you been on Twitter all night? Because I was in a hotel on my own.
And you had.
And I got on Twitter and I just couldn't stop. Anyway, so the spiders, that's fun.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, I forgot we were talking about that.
I just love the sort of, it's quite a sort of weird 1970s Doctor Who feel of these scientists. Imagine you all in lab coats and sort of maybe with
corduroy jackets.
And maybe like some sort of goggle thing on your head and you're all going out with these tubes getting spiders and no one knows who they are and you all sort of come to the town and just start sucking up the spiders. It also feels very lo-fi, doesn't it? I'd have thought they'd just have a... I don't know what I thought they'd have. A big net?
It's just the...
So you get a team, like 10 of you.
No, it was just me.
Get together. Oh, it was just you?
No, just me.
I was imagining a team, you know, when people go and they have to hand out things at stations.
Chuggers or whatever. Oh, chuggers, no, flyers.
You see them together at first and the guy's like, okay, mate, we've got to, you know... You got to sell this many things. Well, make sure you focus on that. You know, blah, blah, blah. And imagine that. But they'd be like, okay, go and get 10 spiders. Get your
Do no not mucking let them about, guys. Yeah, yeah. You your bank details.
Yeah, definitely, exactly. But no, it was just you going around getting the spiders. You'd bring them back, and then you'd pour chemicals on them.
Yeah.
And see if they
and
died.
Then I'd study them for the next 2 weeks, see what it did to them.
Because if the spiders go, the world is overrun with insects.
It is.
So we need, in the same way, if the sharks go, we need those big predators. We need your boxing man.
What happens if the sharks go?
Is he a big predator? He's a wiry predator. What was his name? Mickey Cunningham?
Mickey Cunningham, M-Box.
Terrifying. Forest Gate. Ricky Groves is a big boxer, isn't he?
He is.
Literally, like, fucking hell. He tells me about it. I could just get scared when he talks about it. It makes me scared. But I was talking to him once. I said, oh, I might get my boy to go do a bit of boxing, you know. And he's like, get him in there now. I was like, he's only six. And he's like, I swear, I started at four. I was like, okay. But I feel like I want to get him boxing. I don't know, but is that giving him
like
the tools to
is.
Hurt?
But I he'd learn.
He's obviously
he'd
got an interest in hurting other people.
He?
Well, that's it. That's what, yeah, yeah. Basically, it's a bit like Dexter. I think he's the next Dexter. And I want to kind of... If you're going to kill...
Just kill killers.
Other kill killers.
Yeah.
Great. So, how's this going, Andrew?
Pretty good.
I think it's going really well, isn't it? I think a lot of people at home like this. Neurodiverse people, God, they really need answers on how to sort their brain out.
They do. And so I need to stop distracting them.
No, it's great. Yeah. I love it because it's just eating up the time. But like a big time spider... Walking past Tiger, Flying Tiger, they had a Halloween selection out already. This is another little divergence. And they had a spider skeleton. Looks very scary. Ooh. It was £22, which I thought was quite a lot
also,
for a big piece of plastic.
Is it suggesting that they have bones?
Doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
Because the skeletons are on the outside.
Wolf spiders are hydraulic. That's how why they can move so quickly.
What? What's that mean?
Well, they sort of pump liquid into their legs to extend them, and that's how they...
Like a forklift truck
like
or something?
Like a JCB.
Oh, wow! This is incredible, Andrew, isn't it? So that skeleton, so that is... What do you call that when you sell something and it's not actually...
A lie.
What it's meant to be. It's a lie.
Oh, still, that's pretty... I mean, I suppose it's...
I mean, it's terrifying.
I mean, it couldn't
the
move.
The bloody price
probably.
Is pretty terrifying, mate. £22 for that. It's just a piece of plastic. But it genuinely made me jump. What is in the world? I went, and then I went, oh, that's actually factually inaccurate. And then I thought, I'll talk to Toby about
relief.
That. Little
relief,
did I know, you actually, the hydraulic pumping legs of spiders. God, I love this.
Ooh, is that your new play?
That would be good, or a new Edinburgh show, and just me like wistfully looking
sell.
Out.
There are no spiders
with
in the play.
There's no spiders in the show.
Yeah. Well, it's not a twist; it's just a play.
And you know when
like.
Shows end on the line,
oh
like, and it just and that was when I discovered the hydraulic legs of spiders standing
yes.
O across the board.
Absolutely,
Phil. Who's the lovely comedian, Phil Nicol?
He's a lovely comedian, yes.
The Canadian.
I thought you said he's A-level comedian. He's a bit A-level.
With a guitar, very shouty.
Yes.
Yeah, Phil Nicol.
Lovely man. His show ended on the title. But it was very good. He went, that was when I realised I was the naked racist. Oh, yeah.
Bang.
Phil Nicol won the award. There's something in it. That's all I'm saying.
Good, but undeservedly
so. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So me and my wife do a thing of, like, when watching a film, whenever the title of the film is mentioned, we just go, name of the film.
Yes, it's weird, isn't it? Can you think of any good ones? I did a bit on it in
this
my Anna
perfect,
Man show.
This could be the perfect storm. I mean, that's a real...
Do they say that?
Yeah, he says, this could be the perfect storm. Name of the film.
I had one in my show where I said... I talked about this before. I think a lot of people talk about this idea, don't they? But one where someone goes, I guess at the end of the day, we're all just salmon fishing in the Yemen. You know, I like deliver. Whenever I try and think of one, I just think of one that isn't one.
I mean, I would watch that film.
Can you
film
think of any of
they
us?
Said that in
Perfect
the film.
Perfect Storm.
I don't Perfect think they say the day after tomorrow in the day after tomorrow because they're all just too busy trying
Be
to stay
funny if they
alive.
Did say
they go like, oh, we need to do this now. Like, oh, I'll do it the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. So, if it was just like totally matter of fact shit.
The troposphere when are we... sucked down is coming for you. Oh, burn all the libraries. Oh, I'll do it the day after tomorrow.
Yeah. Or it's just like, when are you picking me up? Day after tomorrow. It's just...
Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe he does.
Lovely. That was
Dennis
a very
Quaid
disappointing film. I think that film set back the climate movement.
Set
because
back
it was
a lot
crap.
Of
Maybe it was probably made by Big Bloody Oil. Do you know what I mean? Because it was really crap, wasn't it? And it was like, you sort of go and go, all right, it's probably not.
I'll stop you there.
It's probably all right. Did you enjoy it?
I quite enjoyed it.
The CGI wolves.
Yeah. I mean, it's of its time.
Early CGI.
It did promote the burning of books. So that was questionable.
Yeah. When did they burn the books?
When they're in the library and the frost monster is coming for them.
Is there a frost monster?
Well, I mean, there's a...
Do you mean a flood?
When they say that the troposphere is being sucked down to Earth level and everything starts freezing.
And I don't remember any of that.
Ice starts creeping along the door and they have to burn more books to save themselves. I'm talking myself into not liking that film at all.
I remember there was sort of the vice president left at the end, wasn't it? And they're sort of like... They're sort of at the end, I guess at the end of the day, we have to accept South Americans.
I guess that we should stop. We should admit they're people too.
It's kind of the
Mexicans should let us in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite good. Right, we've talked too much about Day After Tomorrow. I haven't got to my book yet. Toby, actor, dancer, we've done that. How are you at the minute? Where are you at? Obviously, you're struggling with clothes and stuff. I was hoping you'd have your big beard.
I'm all right. Why?
When did that go? Because I want to talk about it.
Well, I'd like to talk about the beard, actually, because that brings a lot of benefits, having a beard.
Yeah.
But I shaved it off for this little... I didn't shave it off. It was forcibly taken.
For a job?
For a job back in the summer. It was a 1950s period thing, and apparently men didn't have beards in the 50s because it was frowned upon.
Really? Considered a bit Marxist?
Subversive.
A bit communist kind of thing.
So I had a little tash, and then I thought I might keep this for a bit, see how it works out with castings. And it works out with castings, as it turns out.
So. Oh, you get more because of without the beard?
Yeah, with the tash.
Oh, that's
it's
upsetting.
It's just a bit quirky. So I'm going to keep the tash, but in between times, you grow the stubble so it's not too tashy.
Yeah.
And I can shave myself and add a little chin in the stubble.
Oh, yeah, I need to shave that bit there. So
you've
so
got
my,
a chin.
I'm liking the beard, my beard. I look fantastic. I look like Brett Goldstein or something. But when I have to get rid of it, this is partly why I've stopped doing Anna Mann, because I just don't want to shave the beard off anymore. Because Kat literally goes, oh, you shaved your beard off. Oh. She looks really upset. I was like, all right, it's still me, guys. And the kids are like, you look weird.
My wife is very good at pretending it doesn't bother her.
You still look great. I think you look a lot younger. You actually look older.
I think I look quite freakish. I think I look quite odd.
You look like you could be a killer.
Excellent, good.
In a sort of post-apocalyptic drama.
For casting purposes, but also for casting purposes. I nearly got the fly, I touched it.
Bastard.
But also for casting purposes, I think I look ineffectual and sort of weak and...
I'm seeing you in The Last of Us.
And I think the beard is like a different casting bracket.
It is.
And maybe I'm up against fewer people looking sort of chubby, pathetic, balding... mustachioed creep.
What if you do look like that?
I do look like that.
I don't think you look like a creep, Toby. You don't really look balding either. We need to get onto hair.
So
the idea of this show is I say, come on, sort my brain out, Toby.
You're asking the wrong man.
Well, exactly. You know, I get someone I admire who knows stuff that I don't, who can deal with this awful. Drab neurotypical world that we found ourselves having to navigate, and I really struggled to find something, Toby. But no, not really. But I think I've always thought of you. That's why it genuinely threw me. Maybe this is a bit of an autistic thing. Sort of threw me that you weren't. I was like, but that's not Toby. I think it's what my kids have with me when I take my beard off. They go, but that's not Daddy. You know, it's a weird thing where something doesn't appear how you think it's going to appear, and it can very much offset your day.
I enjoyed all the spider stuff,
so we're fine. So what I'm saying is, but you quite early on, from the moment I met you, I think, you seemed very settled in yourself, in who you were.
Interesting.
How you looked. You just decided, this is me. This is who I'm going to be. And I think in my mind, Toby, you know, I was thinking about Toby. I was thinking, you know, I love you, Toby. Is that too much?
No, not at all.
I'm in love with you. That's too much.
Yeah, that's different.
But I was thinking how much I've always, you know, I'm very bad at keeping friends and keeping in touch with friends. Plus, I've got a little family, you know.
I'm very bad at staying in touch with people as well.
But I was thinking how you've always been this very comforting, settled thing.
Interesting.
I don't know whether it's a particular neuro.
I don't think it is.
I've always
I wasn't surprised.
Gone towards people who are quiet, yeah. who seem set. I mean, I suppose everyone wants to be with someone who seems like they know what they're doing. But it's not like in a way you're a kind of, not like Brett Goldstein, for God's sake.
Oh,
you know,
no, not at all.
He's riding on the wave.
He just knows everything.
He's riding a wave. But you, just comfortable in yourself. And that is a thing I very much struggled with, to the point where the characters I create and stuff, this sounds very wanky, but like genuinely I think, oh, me trying to, what about this person? Do you like him or her? Is that not, is that what normal people do? I'm genuinely doing that. I go into conversations and like situations, the most ordinary, you know, like sort of, so I have two kids and taking them to school and stuff and just dealing with parents, you know, and it's sort of like, I don't know, you know, I often just don't know what to say to people or how to be. So I sort of almost put on a mask of, oh, I'll be this guy today. And I find myself I watched the film Oppenheimer the other day about the guy, Oppenheimer. And I came away, I talked to my therapist about it. I was going, I watched Oppenheimer the other day. And I was like, I think I should be like him. I just like the way he acts. And then I was like, oh, but he did create nuclear bombs, didn't he?
He did.
So anyway, sorry, that's a very long explanation.
It is. I mean, there's an element of truth.
Yes. But was there a point when you just went, this is Toby, here I am, this is who I'm going to be for the rest of my life?
I'm old enough now. Age is really good. You let a lot of things slide. You stop caring about
certain things.
Yeah. But I never liked my face. I was never a fan of my face.
Right.
But I could never really grow a beard because there was gaps. There was big gaps in between the sideburns and the bit. There'd be gaps between the moustache and the thing. So it looked pathetic.
Okay.
But I remember early to mid-30s.
Yeah.
So sort of let the stubble come through. And one day it was like all the gaps were filled in. Oh, and this bit, the filter.
It just happened.
That was bald as well. And it was like, the gaps are filled in. It was like, I'm going to grow a beard now. I grew a beard.
It was taking it from your head, unfortunately.
Yeah. Grew a beard, started stand-up. Didn't have to worry about what my face looked like anymore because I had a beard.
Stand-up was connected to the beard. So you were like, I'm playing myself now on stage and I'm trying to work out who Colin is and all that, who I am.
I was never myself.
But were you just like, here's my beard, this is the stand-up guy?
Well, I wasn't, let me see.
I mean, did they go together?
The beard came slightly, they would say it was a coincidence.
Right.
Starting the stand-up was more kind of like, you have to do something now or you're never going to do anything.
Yeah.
And that's how it starts. That's a separate thing. But having the beard was really like, I got this now. I can just hide behind that. So maybe that's where the sense of self-assurance came from.
Did people respond to the... I know we're just talking about beards, but did people respond to the beard? Like with Mike Wozniak. People just kind of... Do people respond to it like you just kind of know... Like you're an adult. More of an adult in the room. Obviously, we're all adults.
Maybe so,
but
yeah.
But like a kind of like, oh, this guy is... immediately got an element of sort of
again, it's
in
nice,
charge,
nice being older,
teacher,
cause it
older.
Just sort of, you don't worry about stuff like that anymore. You go, I'm old. I'm allowed to take something back that doesn't work and get a refund. Whereas normally I'd just be absolutely terrified. But it's like, I'm old now. It doesn't matter. You know, this doesn't work. And they go, oh, here you go, sir. Whereas if you're younger, it's a lot harder.
Yeah. I think I'm just starting to step into... I feel I'm decades behind where
I'm just embracing
that. But you embrace it early on.
Yeah, yeah. It's life's been getting easier as I get older.
So you think it's just age?
All the worries and...
I remember my brother saying that.
You're closer to death, maybe. Just like, you just sort of...
You don't have time to worry about stuff that doesn't matter so much.
I mean, I still do. I still find time. I mean, I still find it hard to like, oh, no, I need to make a phone call today. And it'll...
Yeah.
I'll avoid it all day.
Oh, well, that's...
And it'll just be
that will wind you up, will it, the idea?
To the point where I've learned to go, like, do it early, get it done, so you don't worry about it all day.
It's got to be done, hasn't it? That's what my day off the rails, you know? Because I can
literally
write.
Just be renewing my bloody home contents insurance. I'm going, like, oh,
I've got to do that.
The two-minute call. They want me to call up. They want me to do that. And I'm still like, I can't.
But I had to write a script. It took me ages. But that's what I do. That's what I'm meant to do. It took me ages to get started because I was just thinking about something like that.
Oh, but if
like
I had to write a script,
insurance.
I would make a phone call that I had to make instead.
Oh, God, yeah, my house is spotless
because
of it. Like, I've scrubbed everything. I'm like, literally, there was a whole area. Oh, do you know what? The other day, talking about empowerment, there was a bush that I cut down but the roots are still there. Ooh. And we've got these monkey bars. And where do we put the monkey bars? This massive... is sticking out of the ground, you know what I mean?
Well, like some deadly punji stick type thing you've created. Yeah,
it's got loads of arms. It's like, it looks like an alien thing. So I just went, and then I did my Spartan training and I felt so energized. I literally ran at the bush, grabbed it, went, and then I went, okay, it's not coming out. But then I got some loppers or whatever they're called and started lopping. You know, you've got to find the roots. So when you Google it online, it's all just like get a truck and get a chain. Well, I haven't got a truck.
Or get a hiring man access. Is it called a grubber or something, or a router?
Yeah, but I don't spend any money on those, on anything else. So I just did it by hand.
Can you just put the monkey bars somewhere else?
No.
Okay.
Because there's a big patch that's just these two bushes. Basically, I'd already dug a trough. A trough? Do we say trough? Andrew, trough?
Trench, maybe?
Trench.
Yeah. Moat?
You say trough, I say trench. Let's call the and never off. The twain shall meet. Yeah, and let's call the whole thing off. Is yes. What am I doing? Oh, I dug a trough. There was two bushes.
DJing,
there was
it looks
two
like,
bushes. I was doing this. So it was a mess, and I just left it a mess and a pile of earth next to it. See what I mean? For a couple of weeks, and then I had to write that script. So instead, I dug up two bushes by hand. Got a just fucking sawed the roots off. And then the last one, I literally just twisted it like this and I held it above my head and I did the noise the sand people make when they hit Luke Skywalker. Do you remember?
Yeah, I did.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah, well done.
Fuck that boxer guy.
I mean, there's so a place. There's your answer.
So your answer is get old.
Get old. I remember.
Trust. So to neurodiverse people, especially, who might feel because of their neurodiversity... Or for anyone listening who might feel like they struggle to be themselves or know who themselves is.
Yeah.
As the saying
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, I still.
Your advice would just be get older. Just hang in there.
It does help. It does help.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
But... yeah, I mean, I remember I was a very shy boy when I was little, incredibly shy. Actually, even I remember there was a time I got to about 13 and I decided that being that shy was a real problem because I'd just, you know,
could you not
be shy all the
time.
I couldn't call people up. I wouldn't see my friends at the weekends because I didn't want to ask them what they were doing in case they didn't want me.
Tiny Toby. Did you have a beard then? Or?
No, sadly not. And you couldn't call people up because you're too afraid they have to speak to their parents first.
Yeah.
Also, just calling them up would have been a nightmare anyway. But now I decided to pretend that I wasn't shy.
And good.
And it worked.
It
really worked. Literally went into school.
How did
you
do that?
What are you guys doing at the weekend? And they went, oh, we're doing this. Do you want to come? And I was like, oh, my God, it's that easy. I was surprised. I was like, oh, my God, it's so easy.
Did you stand differently? Did you do the shoulders back? You know, that sort of modern man Jordan Peterson stuff, shoulders back, make your beds. Did you do all that?
I just sort of decided to pretend, just ask stuff and say
lovely.
Stuff. And it really worked.
But you had friends, or you did have friends.
I didn't have friends, but I didn't see them at the weekends. I only saw them at school.
Because in case they said no?
Because you wouldn't ask them what anyone was doing at any point.
And was the shyness out of fear, or was it just you didn't? You couldn't
I don't know.
Imagine
I was always shy,
them.
So I don't know where it came from.
This is free therapy.
But then you sort of get the element of like I don't really know if what followed on from that was me or not because I was pretending.
Right. Oh God. So maybe we've never met the real Toby. He died
maybe
at 13.
I think I killed him.
You killed
That
you
really
killed old Toby.
That sweet shy boy became
that
the,
lovely kid.
Horrible,
would have gone on to be
a horrible man you see before you today.
He would have cured cancer. That guy.
And he then would have probably achieved more than me.
But you, so in a way, we're not so different, you and I. You have essentially created a character there, would you say?
And then when I started starting stand-up was a great thing for me. It was like, because I avoided anything like that because of the nerves.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know.
So what made you want to do stand-up?
A need to do something like that.
To perform or to write or to...
Create, I think.
Create. Yeah. Okay, so it wasn't the attention or...
No. I remember...
you didn't want to be the next Brett Goldstein.
We all want to be the next
Brett Goldstein. And we all will in our own way.
Not the next Brett. We just all want to be Brett Goldstein.
Yeah. But Brett Goldstein... Let's get him on here, Andrew. Let's find out.
I mean, you never know, because it seems like he does, but that probably means that he doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know him fairly well. He's a lovely man, I should hasten to add.
Yeah.
We think.
But, I remember, like, nearly getting off 25 years ago now, my friend worked in computer games, and he said, come and do a couple of voices on a computer game. Just a little freebie sort of thing, but I really enjoyed it.
What, 25 years ago? What time was that? It was like Mega Drive. No.
It was a PC game.
It was a PC game.
It'd be like 1999, something like that. Ooh. And but I left thinking, like, I really enjoyed that. And I wasn't that nervous because there's just a couple of people there. And nobody's, like, judging you. No one's going to heckle you or boo you while you're doing a voiceover for a computer game. I
mean, but why did they ask you? Like,
they needed someone to do it for nothing.
But had you already done funny voices somewhere?
No.
So you weren't known as, like, Toby the Joker?
Maybe it was a little bit of a joker. Maybe that's why my mate asked me to do it.
Right.
But, then I tried to get into voiceovers and found that it was almost impossible.
Yeah.
And I got a voice agent eventually because I was doing BBC...
You're doing a voiceover today?
I am.
Yeah.
I did BBC Travel News.
Oh, God, you'd be great at that.
Oh, mate, getting up at 4 a.m. It was awful.
How
did
you get
awful.
It, though?
There's a company in Farringdon that did it.
Oh, lovely.
And you'd go in and then you'd... link into all the local BBC stations and do the travel news for them. And there was a little BBC book with pronunciations, because if you got if you pronounce their towns wrong, they'd get livid and call in and sort of like Wyndham.
Defund the BBC, hashtag.
Which is spelled Wimmendom.
Oh, like, really?
It's Wyndham. And if you say it wrong, it'll be hell to pay.
I can imagine, God.
But I got a voiceover agent, and then she dropped me because I wasn't getting any work. And then I said, I'm doing comedy, which was a lie. And she said, I'm interested again. And so I started doing comedy.
Oh, that's really... Wow, that feels like really bucking the system.
Not really. Like, it was madly
flailing
around.
But you wanted to do voiceover, and then you did comedy.
I was watching a lot of... This is where you come in.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching a lot of... I was working on a magazine with a guy called Dave Bell.
Rings a bell. That wasn't even meant as a joke, but it does ring a bell.
That rings a Dave, yeah.
Rings a Dave Bell.
Dave Bell and Dave Skinner were in Dave
Skinner
and Dave.
Rings a bell.
And they ran a sketch night at the Landor in Clapham
North. Remember it.
I started going to see them, and unbeknownst to me, was seeing the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Katie Brand, Brian Gittins.
Was he?
Lee Nelson.
Lee Nelson.
Colin and Fergus. Colin and Fergus were good. I like them.
The original
They were
creation.
Very good. Ed Weeks. Tommy and the Weeks. Everybody was in it.
The old school.
I'd watch it and go, sketch comedy seems the way to go, because the audience are just there to enjoy themselves and they don't... I had this vision of, like, stand-up was all heckling and fighting and booing, which it can be, sadly. So I didn't want
to... I still think it's like that, but it's sort of...
It is a bit. I still fear that. Like, yeah, but
I still fear it. Like, I did a few gigs the other day at Comedia, and it was like wonderful. But I still go out going, they're gonna like actually physically attack me. I just assume they're gonna like start beating me.
It really
up.
Feels and then
I
get, like that. Yeah.
To the point where I'm literally about to sort of pull it or go, I can't do it. Medic, you know.
Yeah.
And then I go on and go, oh yeah, I remember. Like seconds before I suddenly remember how it works.
I'll be on there and confused. I'll be like, oh my God, they seem more frightened of me than I am of them. That's weird. But
so I think you've used it. You've used a character to find strength that you needed.
Possibly.
And then you were happy with that person. Then you carried on being that guy, Toby Williams.
I wouldn't say happy with that person, but I would say I become happier when I started doing stand-up, because I met lots of really great people, was being very creative, and was like, oh, yeah, this is finally doing what I kind of probably was afraid of doing all along. But I then remained afraid of it, and still do to this day, 16 years later, and it still makes me ill.
Afraid of doing stand-up?
Yeah.
Does it really?
Doing it, I'm not afraid of. Waiting to do it. Like, oh, you got a gig next week. I'll be like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, terrifying stuff.
So, which is why I don't do it that much anymore, because it's just debilitating.
And you always think everyone else is really good when you get there.
Oh, yeah.
That they're going to be like,
well, I mean, I literally...
Mate, what are you doing?
But I literally think the same thing about you. I was like, I'd see you do a thing and go, ah, oh, Colin Holt's good, isn't he? And I'd be like, oh, I just can't compete.
Yeah. There's no competing with that guy. No way. So, lovely. Thank you. So your advice is...
Oh shit! Get older. Supposed to be giving
no, 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 no. I told you you didn't have anything to prepare. But exactly. getting older, man. As you get older, things do get easier, unless your illness has become worse, and then you start getting really ill.
Oh yeah, I mean the caveat is you do look after your physical self as you get older, but then you worry about less about the mental things.
It will get easier as you get older because you get used to it and you care less. But also you can use these characters, can't you, to put them on? Because I've been kind of living this thing the last year. My whole show, The Death of Anna Mann, ended with
which
me.
Which was wonderful.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Did you come see it? Yeah. Did I see you after?
I don't know.
Anyway, was there a standing ovation?
Yeah, well, I stood. Sure. I, do you know, I didn't see you afterwards. I think I messaged you.
I stood to walk out.
I messaged you and was like, that was incredible.
Thank you, buddy. That's very kind. I mean, there were so many, I couldn't possibly remember, you know. But never. But that whole show is about casting off Anna and being me, you know what I mean? But I don't know, it's just made me... Because I was getting to a point where I was almost resentful of this character. Not that it didn't even do that well, you know, it was no Brett Goldstein, but it did pretty well. But it was loved, beloved by some. But I was like, oh, I don't want to fucking carry... It's like even when I had to do Standby, doing 8 out of 10 cats, I had to do it when I got paid, it was great. But I'm like lugging this stuff and I'm like... In my mind, she was like on my back. Like,
I felt the same about the Dr. George Reigold.
Did you?
Character. You'd sort of had a bloody corduroy jacket everywhere and dressed like an old man. I was like, what have I done? And also being.
Oh, that's probably also why I see you as old, because you were literally playing a character that was an old guy.
But it was, and it wasn't deliberately combative or controversial. It's just the material came out. But now I do it as myself. It's the material is very similar, but because it's me, it's more palatable and jokey, and you can undermine it. And
yeah,
whereas
but then you've got to be
that character was so alpha, it was a nightmare.
Well, I think when I first met you, was that when you were doing Carl Sneed?
Oh God, that was just a little stub. You'd call it a little.
I said that was brilliant. I loved it.
A wiki stub.
My agent said if I do it again, he's going to drop me. He said it was the most offensive thing he'd ever seen.
He was not happy. He was really not happy.
He was not happy.
Yeah, really.
God, I'd love it if my agent saw my show to tell me.
I keep doing offensive stuff
just to try and get them to, you know, drop.
I didn't. Well, like all things, I didn't think it was offensive. I thought it was funny.
Well, it was very clearly a character, wasn't it? I guess you were just on the cusp of where you're creating...
Again, I was getting tired. I'm not tired of Reigold, but I just want to do something slightly easier.
Carl Sneed is not that one.
Carl Sneed was a bit like this. But look, I've got to say, my wife really likes it when I talk like this.
It was very funny.
It's her favourite. It's a bit of a fetish of her.
What was he? He was just like a gross man, wasn't he? Did he live above a shop? Why did I imagine that?
He lived in my disgusting flat because it was literally me living my own disgusting life.
Reflecting where you were.
Even though he spoke like this and was a bit of a sort of... He might have been viewed as a Luther thought. He didn't think he was at all. He was very alpha within his own mind.
Yeah, I like Carl Sneed. I think you could bring him back.
I liked him, but...
I think it's tight, especially now the beard's gone.
I did it at...
He could definitely be just Dash.
One of those industry
He's probably not a beard guy, is he?
Well, there's sort of industry people in and no one laughs. And I thought... And it was very stupid of me to decide to do it then. And it did not go down well.
But you were doing a kind of... I'm not going to repeat the joke because it probably would... End the podcast, but
please don't.
It was just on the cusp of when characters doing material, do you know? Because a character, you're playing a character, they can say whatever the character would say.
To be fair, a lot of the time it was real things that I'd said to people.
Well, there you go.
Again, as a really funny joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you put it into a character and say, and all of a sudden it's terrific.
But it was at that point where it was like, I don't know. People did seem to stop realizing it was a character. Like I think like. We grew up on like Alan Partridge and all that stuff, didn't we? And it was like everything was characters. Like stand-ups were like, ooh, you know, very And then, but nowadays I feel like, you know, younger people I know, like actors, who, I say younger, but I mean like Andrew in the 20s, you know, but they didn't, a lot of them, bless him, he's only 23. A lot of them.
I shook my head.
Fury.
Young.
Ugly.
Young.
Young monster. Sorry, I called you an ugly young monster. I meant ugly. It's an ugly idea. I'm not saying you're ugly. You're beautiful.
It's Trey Gosh. I do apologise.
I forgive myself. Is what I'm trying to say. What was I talking about?
Ooh, characters.
Andrew.
Characters.
Characters. Right. Yeah. I feel like it's been very boring.
No, not at all.
Oh, yeah. So these young'uns, and Andrew's different because he's a wise man. He's got his head across in a lot of pies. He's got his head in a lot of pies. But... They didn't really know. Oh, that was it. So my mate who was like in his 20s at the time came to see me do one of those sort of nights, and he'd been acting with me in a TV thing, some TV show, and and he just didn't know people could be characters. Because
right.
He'd grown up on like Russell Howard and stuff.
Right. Okay.
Which
yeah.
He knew me from popping up in that and stuff, you know, but he just thought that was it. Maybe he was just very thick. No, but he didn't know there was like this grey area where you're a character, but you're kind of a stand-up as well. And then there is that weird point, I think, culturally everything slightly has changed, you know, where as a character you can't really say things that are not okay. It's an interesting time we're living in.
It's a tricky thing. I still feel that you can if you're doing it.
Yeah.
Correctly, it's the treading the line is my favourite thing, and if you do it correctly, I think you can still do it.
But you got people like Dapper Laughs. Do you remember him? I think that was when.
Well, he didn't
because he was meant to be a character, wasn't he? But he was just.
But even if he was a character, the stuff he was saying wasn't cleverly, you know, sort of walking a line, and it wasn't cleverly trying to highlight things by agreeing. But my whole thing was like. I'd start off writing about, oh God, like something would upset me, a subject, and I'd write some stand-up about, like, oh God, isn't this terrible? And then read it back and go, oh my God, that's crap. That's not funny at all.
Right.
So then they go, oh, agree with it. Okay. Agree with it to such an extent that it's just so offensive, but it's become so absurd.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's obviously a joke, but you're also managing to highlight the thing that you really disagree with. But
yeah.
That's what I did a lot, and I felt that that was the right way.
I do feel
to do
weird doing characters like that. You know, Andy Parker, my sort of Nottingham bloke.
Yes, yeah.
But he used to talk about stuff that, you know, was a bit definitely sexist and quite homophobic, but was very much he was the butt of the joke.
Well,
but I did do a couple of gigs where people are like, that's not okay, you can't say those things.
Well, it's because people don't get it. Don't be put off by a couple of audiences. I mean,
it's too late. I've killed the character. He's dead.
Well, when I was doing Rygold, I didn't want people to know it was a character. So other people, a manager I had for a few short months was like, you need to dress up as a doctor in a white coat with a stethoscope. And I was like, no.
You're not getting this
at all.
Yeah.
And loads of people thought I was a real doctor.
Yeah, I think I kind of did, even though I knew you weren't.
Loads of doctors thought I was a real doctor, like real doctors.
Right.
Stand-ups used to be doctors, and
did you try and do research on it, or did you just?
I did loads of research all the time, but
I've never done that.
It was really complex and took up a lot of time. Again, it was another reason why I stopped doing it.
Yeah,
but I didn't want anyone to know it was a character. But then it also made it very hard.
I find that very brave, Dan Skinner.
Stupid, I would say.
Angelos always used to be like that. He'd be really like, you know.
Love Dan Skinner.
Never say.
Yeah.
I remember doing it. I was like, do you want me to say it? Dan Skinner's like, no, never tell them.
Dan was another one that I first saw at that comedy night.
I think everyone knows he's Dan Skinner now, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. But like, it was Tommy and Mr. Winchester he was doing.
Yeah.
Just superb.
That was very funny.
So good.
I think maybe too much of a throwback. It was sort of set in 1940, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was
wonderful. Right. How long have we done, Andrew? Is that
53 minutes.
Oh, but we're not started yet.
We should probably wrap up.
But, okay. I feel like we've not started your list.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it's been great, though. So I've enjoyed it a lot. Well, so, so this is the big question from the past. We'll call it question from the past.
Reverb on that.
Past. So we... Oh, you can do it with a button now. Oh, that's clever.
Oh, yeah, but no, can you do it?
Past. But I did... So we first met, we did a thing called Horror Show. Do you remember?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you
I was
were in the Horror Show, weren't you?
Honor. It was an honor. Do you know what? I wasn't in the first one. I did so many. I came to see one.
Yeah.
And it was in before the basement of Leicester Square Theatre was a bar. It was that little room, and it was that little...
Oh, it was amazing,
wasn't
it? I
did so many great shows in there.
And it was just... We did a blackout. Were you in that one where we had it all blackout
I was an audience member in that one.
What, and then you became a...
I think I came to see it twice, and then you asked me to be in a show, and my mind was blown.
Did we do the one that I think was called In for a Penny, about the three serial killers? Was that the one you were in with me?
I think I did one in the basement, and I did a couple in the main theatre room.
Oh, it was fun, wasn't it?
The basement. I did so many shows in the basement.
I came up with all that stuff and then just never followed it through. Just never went back to it.
It was amazing.
I was like, was it?
But everyone an amazing cast because everyone wanted to work with you.
I'm getting quite a lot in my mind at the minute where I think a lot about doing stuff that lasts. I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it? I'm reading a book called... called What We Owe the Future... Which is quite, it's very nice. It makes you feel warm. It's one of those.
Oh, good.
Maybe climate change isn't going to happen kind of things, you know. A bit like Humankind, if you read that one. It's in that vein.
Are you reading a climate denial?
It's an upbeat. No. Okay. He's very much.
It's nice to have something positive.
Professor.
Isn't it?
Look at that, Professor.
Oh, my God.
He looks about 19.
He looks younger than Andrew.
What a dish. but anyway, it's about humanity. Mammals apparently generally last a million years, and hopefully humanity will.
Mammals
but not
generally
at the rate
last
going.
A million years.
As in, as a species, they're normally gone after a million years. So the idea of that book is to sort of go, can we keep going for a million years? Anyway, I just realise a lot of the stuff I put out and create comes and goes. And I kind of like that living in the moment. But now I'm starting to think maybe I want to create something that lasts, you know. Anyway.
Well, film it.
Hence this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I'd
podcast last forever.
I was always against filming my stuff, but like, I did a couple of shows at Camden Fringe. I filmed them, and now it means I don't ever have to do them again.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah, because I was excited. I like doing new material. I do the Monday Club once a month at the Museum of Comedy. I find it the least stressful gig I've ever done. Mm. Still a bit stressful, but and I like. Working on it. I like putting a show together. I like writing an hour show. I like doing an hour show, but I don't like waiting to do an hour show. I don't like trying to get people in. I don't like any of that.
Oh, yeah, so that's the worst bit.
I hadn't done it for 6 years, and I did it all again for Camden Fringe, and I was like, I can't do this. It was so
stressful. It's a six-year-old show.
No, it's a lot of it's quite new, but it's...
Right.
I'd been doing new material for, like, six
yeah.
years.
Yeah, okay.
A lot
building
of it was
garbage, up to a show.
But, like, some of it.
Because you did, like, a sitcom, didn't
6 years, and I think I managed to get, like, 40 minutes.
I have the opposite problem, which sounds like bragging, but in that I have loads of stuff all the time, but I never then go back to it and finish it. Do you know what I mean? The only reason I finished that animal was because of the pandemic. So I had, like, 4 years, so I had to keep. I had nothing else to do. but we talked a bit about hair.
Oh.
The baldness. What do we do?
Well,
what's the next step? I saw a thing on the tube for a male baldness clinic, and it said the name of a guy, and it said Andrew. It wasn't you. But it said Andrew, comma. You know, like it says that Andrew, comma, doctor. But it said Andrew, comma, male pattern baldness. Like that was his. That was who he
was. That
was
his
now.
Description.
But anyway, after three. Oh, Andrew, bless you. You've got a little bit thin there at the front.
It's. I just think.
Do we embrace it?
Depends who you are.
I don't want to shave it off.
If you want to do something about it, do something about it. If you don't. It's
but like, say, as actors, there's probably more roles not trying to look like Brett Goldstein, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, Brett's got those.
He gets those, yeah.
Do you think he's been to the hair clinic?
I was always quite receding. I'm sure it's gone back further than it was.
I think it's better, less so.
From about 17, 18, I always had a little, as my wife calls it, skin biscuit. Like a little, little tonsure. And so, like, at 18, I was like, oh, right, I'm shaving my head. So I always had really short hair.
Right.
Then early 20s, I was, like, completely bicked off, like, shaved off. Obviously no
oh,
beard.
Oh, were you really?
Because of my patchy beard.
Oh, so you were like, fuck it, it's gone then.
It was gone then. But then when I reached my mid-30s, my hair was the same as it was when I was 18. But now I was in my mid-30s, it looked like a mid-30s man's hair. So I was like, oh, I'll grow my hair back now. Because now it suits my
age. Sometimes you have it long, don't you? At the back. Have you not done that for a while?
I just
like that.
I let it grow until somebody wants to cut it for me.
See, I thought, yeah, I'm a bit like that.
I was turning up for these filmings, going like, yeah, do what you like with your hair, and they go, oh, we'll just brush it over here. I was like, yeah. Oh no, can I get a haircut? And they're like, no, no. No.
I tried to get one on 8 out of 10 cats. Standby. Can I get a medic and a haircut? It's great. They get you like a wasabi and stuff, you know.
I just cut my own hair in the kitchen. That's the.
But I'm gone in the middle. Look, it's just going.
But it's characterful.
So I'm, yeah, but do I want to be that character? I want to be Brett Goldstein. So I just kind of do that. And then I was like, okay, it's a comb over now. We're into comb over city. What do we do, Toby?
Well, shaving it is a very strong statement, and it can come across as aggressive, but it can also just look a lot better.
Yeah.
But you're an actor.
I said that to a taxi driver, a car driver. Car driver? On a set. What? A driver.
A driver.
They're just called drivers. Yeah. And I said, I think I might just shave it off. I don't know how I got into this conversation with him. I talk about it. I talk about hair and my neurodiversity with everyone I meet within seconds, and then mother. Is the third thing that I talk about. But I said, I think you should shave it on. He went, no, it won't work. Your head ain't the right shape. I was like, you bastard.
Do you know what? You don't know until you shave it off. Your head looks like it is the right shape.
I've lost weight since then as well. Really, I've been doing Spartan.
It would change your
thanks, Andrew.
Your casting.
It's very brave.
But also...
It would change my casting, but I'm not getting that many at the minute, so fuck it.
I was on a thing.
Could I be a thug?
I think you could be.
Come at me! Is that what thugs...
I've at you!
Is that what thugs say?
Yeah.
You're dead. Do you remember that? You're dead. That's what this, in Nottingham, we used to say, I rip your head off, mate, shit down your neck. Such a great phrase. But yeah, do you remember the tall man with Jeff Goldblum?
I do.
There's a bit where, yeah. You know, he's like a struggling actor. There's a bit where he's in a Berkoff type
player. He's an
play.
Elephant.
Oh, yeah, no, but before that, he's like, yeah, oh, yeah, before yeah. that, he's going through all these different roles and he's, you know, trying to land a hit. And he's in this sort of Berkoff type play and he's improvising. And this guy goes, piss off, mate, just piss off, all right, piss off. And then he's sort of like, you piss off. That's how I feel if I have to be violent in a scene.
I remember there's a really great line in that film where, because he's in...
It's all great
He becomes
lines.
A bit of a... Yeah, he becomes a bit arrogant, doesn't he? And he's in this successful musical called Elephant.
Yeah,
and then he cheats on Emma Thompson, am I right?
Take a good luck, prepare for the worst. The ugliest man in the universe. Wonderful.
God,
I saw that as a kid and I thought that was the best comedy could ever be.
He gets all these cuddly elephants given to him as gifts and stuff, and there's a pig in there. So then later on, Emma Thompson goes, the pig was from me.
Oh, fuck. As only Thompson could say.
Yeah.
Wonderful film. Right, so we're going to have to call it a day here. I could talk to you forever.
We need to stop.
I could talk to you for bloody ever. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you, Toby Williams.
Mate, it's been a pleasure. Thank you both.
Goodbye.
Oh, bye.
Oh, yeah, bye.
Very sudden. Oh, it's because you don't know how to end a podcast.
I don't.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Sort your brain out. Baby, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. And let the sun shine in.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Sort your brain out. Ladies, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. Don't let the bad guys win. Sort your brain out, mate.